Hello and welcome to the Balls Deep Football Podcast. My name is Dave. You can call me Beans. I've got my friend Troy. You can call him Nappy Nap.
Nappy Nap.
Do you like Nap? Nappy Nap? What's your stage name?
Nappy Nap. I like Nappy Nap.
Nappy Nap. Okay. We need to get Nappy some like name tags. Oh man, our sound just cut off. Okay.
Well, it's perfect. Yeah.
No fade out here on this episode. Just abrupt. We were out last week. We took a bye week. We thought we deserved it. It was Halloween. And, you know, listen, the only five of y'all listened to the show anyway, so we figured.
Yeah, y'all were all right this week, man.
Y'all be all right.
y'all probably had y'all's best week last week.
but it was fun, but lots to talk about. And one thing that keeps happening in this league, the Achilles. We have another Achilles injury. We'll go through the injuries, but who did it? Cam Akers? Is that the one who went down?
Play that Brad Pitt, man. Play that Brad Pitt right there, because Achilles is, yeah, this Cam followed Kirko Chains. He tore his two weeks ago, or last week, my bad. Yeah, so that's crazy right. How you got both of them. I mean, speaking of the Vikings, they fall in left and right, because you got KJ Osborne, too. So, yeah. I don't know who else though got hurt. It is year of the Achilles, though, like we were saying. Aaron Rodgers, you know, his third play in as a New York Jet.
Whole bunch of buzz there, because audio has been captured on field of him saying to another player that he's going to be back like in a few weeks. So everyone's just calling bullshit. And we were just talking about the Jets off air, about just where they are, the terrible game that we saw on Monday Night Football. Troy Aikman really tore into him. Just calling him a bad team with a great defense. But it's like, with all these things, is it worth Aaron Rodgers trying to come back into the season?
Exactly. The only way I see it happening is if they're competitive towards the end of the season, if they're making a push, if they win their division, AFC East, right? If they can do those things, then yeah, it might be worth Aaron Rodgers coming back. You know, once you're in the playoffs, anything can happen, I'd say, bro. But that's how we got to see how the season progresses. And if they're getting close and tight, then it might be a serious thing. But as of right now, nah, he shouldn't come back. It's inhuman of him too. But I mean, it's crazy he's out there, you know, throwing the ball and shit.
I think the offense has bigger problems than just the quarterback. And I think you mentioned the reporter or someone asked about benching
Zach Wilson.
Yeah, Zach Wilson there.
Oh, MILF Hunter.
Yeah, you give me so nicknames. Every time he comes up, I have to, like, my brain short circuits because I think of a nickname, and then I have to think of his full name. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. But anyway, what other injuries are affecting the fantasy landscapes?
You know, we mentioned KJ Osborne just real quick. That helps, your Addison fans. And then we got the other kid – man, I'm drawing a blank. Pollard or Palmer for the Vikings. So that kid's value just shoots straight through the roof. Obviously, TJ Hawk's been there. But we're talking about guys we can pick up now that'll get a benefit from that. You know, Dallas Goedert, we already know Philly's tied in one. Looks like it's time to stash they back up. I'll say that because this guy's out for a couple weeks. First, a wrist injury. I don't know. Now it's maybe a fractured forearm or something like that. And that's about it, though, man. I know I'm missing one injury.
Daniel Jones, ACL.
Yeah, torn ACL. I don't know if that affected anyone because the Giants receivers were.
Who's rolling with Daniel Jones this year?
If you were counting on some of these streamers at receiver, like Wandale, right, Robinson, maybe that might affect it, although he did still have a touchdown on a scramble drill with the backup quarterback for the Giants. So, you know, maybe that is a positive, right? and then last, I think the Browns lost their left tackle, Jedrick. And this guy, MCL sprain, so he's out. I mean, we're mentioning an O-line guy, obviously, because of the running backs, right? You got Jerome Ford back. Is this team even worth tangoing with the fact that it is a committee now, I think, with Kareem Hunt in there taking touches, right? Pierre Strong was a bust. We told you to sash him last week. Probably not, you know, with Ford back, running Strong and Kareem.
Our bad.
But man.
Daniel Jones is like the 32nd quarterback of the league.
Yeah. And hey, I mean, it might affect it if you're trying to go after Saquon or not. I mean, maybe you last.
He's last. Just gonna put that in perspective for everyone. Sorry.
Hey, no, but hey, besides the Jets, what else is going on in the NFL? Jets 4-4. Let's talk about some other 4-4 teams. What about them Texans, bro?
You know it. You know it. Bring it. The happiest 4-4 team probably in the NFL is or the
one that's hottest. We could be the hottest 4-4 team right now.
I mean, I would just say we're the happiest 4-4 fan base, probably.
Yeah. For sure.
This is so downtrodden over here in Houston. But, it's like, I think it's the old saying. I tried to eloquently put it a few times, but like, it's the one time you're lucky, two times, or, you know, one time's a fluke, two times lucky, three times it's consistency. That's what I feel with the Texans. It's like, you see these games pop, you see CJ Stroud pop, and you're like, oh, maybe that was a lucky game. Everyone has a good game. Like I said before, it's the NFL. Everyone can pop and have a good couple games, good plays. Rookie season, we don't see tape on you, but it's cool when you can see it consistently that the team's performing. We were also talking off air about who is the Texans' number one threat right now. You know, you made a big trade for Nico, which, by the way, he wasn't a main target of last week, but he still picked up 14 points with Schultz on, like, I think maybe 30. And then Tank with 20.
Three receivers broke 100. Yep, three receivers broke 100 yards. Yeah, point those is, guys like, you named.
I think there's attention for the Houston Texans on offense, or like, you know, what is the defense focusing for the Houston Texans? And I think it's kind of pick your poison right now, because someone is going to step up, and it's kind of hard.
I'll tell you what, though. Yeah. What they know they don't have to step up with, as far as opposing defense, is the run game. Texans can't run the ball for shit. You know what I mean? So the defense already knows they got to step up their passing defense and make the Texans beat them that way. Because essentially, but flip it around. Don't make it sound so negative. Maybe it's the Texans now discovering their identity, bro. Right? The fact that they know, hey, we can't be keep fucking being stubborn, running it first, second down. Like, maybe we got to set up the run with the pass. You know what I'm saying? Which is just like those Shanahan type teams, you know, still with a twist of Kubiak's running style. So it's kind of wild as we see it evolve and see the Texans, like, week 9-10 got their identity, understanding, okay, they ain't running it. You know what I mean? First half that game, bro. Yeah. First, second half, run. Second half, they started pass, dink, dunk.
Which is kind of funny, because last year we actually probably had more of an identity of the running team with Damian Pierce, and he hasn't done, he hasn't recaptured what we did last year. We have
O line not doing it this year. It's tough. No, yeah,
and I'm going to show my ignorance on as a fan, but largely, our O-line was pretty – like, the guys, we brought back mostly the same line, but I think we've had a lot of injuries is the problem. Correct? Okay.
No, but they've been running different combos this year. But, yeah, essentially, I think three of the five guys are the same. I mean, we got Titus Howard at left guard right now. That's a guy we're paying right tackle money to play left guard right now. I don't understand, right? Tunsil obviously is back and has been anchoring everything. But Shaq Mason, a very highly paid guard on a prove it type, you know, attitude after leaving last year. I think it was the Bucks. So we got guys, they got the chip too. We got guys, they got the money. We definitely invested in them. Starting to see it, man. Starting to see it reap benefits for sure.
And speaking of the Texans, a big thing that keeps happening around here, or the big, now I want to say rumors, I don't know what the best word is here, but a lot of people are talking about how CJ Stroud is really kind of coming on and coming into his own in the NFL. And we're looking
at the buzz. Yeah, the excitement, the buzz, the hype.
And so do the Carolina Panthers have regret with their number one pick?
I don't know.
Should CJ Stroud have been the number one pick? Although CJ Stroud,
I've got some evidence if you want to pull it up now. I don't know if it's too early, but
we can do it. Yeah.
I got some evidence. Carolina's probably thinking that they should they either regret, you know. I shared it last week on the Xverse, right? That Lovie Smith meme. Thank you, Lovie.
So is this the week 9 you want to pull up from?
Should be a Bryce Young clip. Yeah.
All right. Tell me if this is the right one here.
I mean, this is ending the second half. There's 20 seconds left right here. That's all you got to know. What should you do? I mean, you got your rookie quarterback in there trying to throw a little up. Let me just tell you, Bryce Young got two passing touchdowns to this Indianapolis Colts defender in this game, bro.
I think I saw your meme where it was like most touchdowns caught by Bryce Young, and it was like Ravens players.
I'm
going to play it again real quick just so we can watch that.
I mean, you know, I don't want to blame it all on Bryce Young here. This has got to be a coaching decision right here, but I guess he wants the rep here. And there you go. It's just a zone. It's soft, cover two. The guy, man, playing hook. He just playing a hook. Just cheats. He just look at Bryce's head the whole way. You know, it's just Nothing to do there, man. It's tough, man. What does this one play do? It's an isolated play, right? It don't say nothing. It's just while Houston was dancing, this is what Carolina was watching. I mean, perspective, baby. Shit.
I think this is the same play, a little closer cut in, right?
A little tighter. So there he is, that bottom right defender. I think of 23. I think there he goes, follows Chuba.
Honestly,
And I
it
mean, that
looks
was a
like.
bad throw, though. It was a behind the running back. Again, you're throwing to a running back, so not like you always need to throw that perfect ball. But I mean, if you throw it to your running back, he's not the perfect receiver. You know, he needs all the help he can get. Where's that CJ Stroud ball
I
placement?
mean, right now it looks like pocket collapses. He freaks out and just
But
like
if he
throws
leads
it.
him, he's good, right? Yeah, if he leads him, he's good. But you're right. The pocket there, hands in his face, errant throw behind his target. Holla at your boy. Yeah. I like that, man. You just freestyling on the keyboard right there today.
Yeah,
Yeah,
man.
what?
So we'll get it.
I like it.
I've been looking a little bit more.
Hey.
I figured out at least in theory how to hook up the iPad to kind of draw on it. So we'll get more creative with the
We'll
controlling
dedicate the
stuff.
next one to Madden. Yeah, we'll dedicate the next one to John.
And we'll just keep going until the NFL knocks on our door and says we can't do this anymore for the five of you guys out there.
Yeah. God damn,
That was
man.
great, man. I love it.
Wait, man, let's pop that timer if you're ready. Shit, let's get in the sell by.
All right, so sell by. Let's start our timer. We got 7 minutes on the clock. As soon as I bring it up, we're clicking. Everyone does this, but let's do our own take on it. Sell by. What do you got for
Yeah,
me?
man. Sell by. Well, this is what I've been hearing. I'll say that, right? Last week, I think we hit on Aaron Jones. We talking about trying to buy this guy, right? He finally came back. And remember, that was only 57% of snaps. So all that production he got this last week, I think 20 to 30 yards receiving on top of 40, 50 yards rushing. He got that touchdown. Get happier because that was only on 57% of, like I said, the snaps. So despite that, this guy is the only Packer that is rosterable, you know. So just wanted to toot our horn on that. You know, we say buy him low, you should buy him low. I think we hit on Amari Cooper too. We got a clip there. We don't have to show it, but he just catches a bobble pass. You know, I suggest y'all go see it. I think it's in the second quarter. He is the alpha. Although in a later segment we have Joku might be, you know, establishing himself as the second receiving option. But I think we hit on those two guys. Told you go out there and try and buy low for him. You have another opportunity to buy low on the both those guys. What are that, you know, shouldn't have to give up much, man.
So I want to just walk back into your comment there about the only rosterable person on the Green Bay Packers. We kind of had a little bit more higher hopes, right? In the beginning of the season, Jordan Love. I haven't really kept a pulse on him. Has it all been just a doo-doo after, like, he had a nice little hot start, but has it all been terrible since? Crash back
finally
to
had a
earth.
bounce. Yeah, finally had a bounce back game this week, but before that he had a good stretch of three games where, like I said, we knew Aaron Jones wasn't doing well. So obviously, you know, the supporting cast, Love ain't gonna do well. Christian Watson been hurt, right? The only receiver that was consistent was maybe Jaden Reed, who was another rookie. Romeo Dubs in the beginning of the season, I think you had him. But again, just not enough support there. You know, a lot of hype on paper, right? Luke Musgrave, the rookie tight end, a lot of hype on paper, right? Mike LaFleur, getting exposed this season, man. You know, that system ain't a system you can just plug and play, or at least that, or Jordan Love too raw.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Love is ranked the 14th quarterback for PPR leagues. And, you know, it's kind of hit, it is hit or miss. It's 29, 26, 14, really bad against Vegas for 16 to 15. And I think for quarterbacks, you'd like to see them be more in the higher teens, 20.
Teen, holla.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, that's actually not that hard to get from most quarterbacks in the league. So I think quarterback, that is pretty low, but he's ranked right underneath the top 10. So,
So hey, I got three names. What you think here? Sticking to running back before we move on next position. You got your boy maybe coming back soon, right? A
hey,
Chan.
Jackie Chan.
Yeah, A Jackie Chan. Then you got Mixon. So and then Bijan Robinson. So let's think about these three cats here, man. A Chan coming back. Miami Dolphins ain't missed a beat without him. Of course, they're gonna be that much more explosive with him. Then you got Mixon, just steady mixing, bro. Just sitting there, steady mixing, cooking cocaine, that Breaking Bad in the kitchen. Just always high teens for a running back and them points. Just right there, man, right there. What I used to have in my porn search, right? 18 and up, right there. And then Bijan Robinson. All hype on paper. What you think? I mean, Arthur Smith, the head coach, is just finding ways not to give this guy the ball. And anyways, I want you to who are you taking out of that three, man? You taking the guy coming back from injury who was hot, hot, hot? You taking the established brand name in Mixon?
Or you going with that Mixon, high upside? I've never been like too keen on Mixon, and for fantasy perspective, like, because I feel like the ball's more heavy weighted into the passing game there. And honestly, all of the guys in our league, I think, who have had Mixon have been disappointed in some way, shape, or form each year. So multiple I think years. I'll take him off the bat. Bijan came out of the gate strong, man, like 20, 26, 10, 23. And so then it dwindles. Yeah. And I know he had an incident where he might have been sick and all that. But then lately, so it's been as of late. Did he do something wrong? Is the coach trying to pivot philosophy?
I like that, man. You know, I haven't been hearing that as far as if he's in the doghouse or not. I don't think he is, especially that caliber of a player. It's not like he's fucking around or, you know, missing meetings, or I don't think he's
because
that kind of guy. So.
I mentioned to you, Steve had proposed Robinson for Achan, and it was right before he got injured. And that's a very tempting trade back then, like a few weeks ago, because he was doing quite well. It's only as of late, mm-hmm. Bijan has kind of like hit the doo-doo. So, he can't be a keeper, right? Achan can be a keeper.
So you probably want to talk at least in our league. At least in our league. Yeah. You're sticking with Achan. I like that. So, that's kind of how I ranked the guys. I had Achan and then, who did I have? Yeah. I had Achan and then Mixon and then Bijan. Bijan's just not there. I mean, I'm tired of fighting the head coach and his lame play calling. He had Jonnu Smith on like a reverse or some shit, the other day. The head coach is trying too hard to be too unpredictable. Just trying too hard, man. So I'm not really sure.
Mike McDaniels.
Yeah. Go.
Yeah.
Hey, I see the clock running down, but what else do we have? Hey, the Gus bus. I mean, are we riding it or are we selling it? I think that gas going to run out eventually, but we got in the next segment. You know, we'll be able to tell you why I think, you know, we got to get off the Gus bus soon. Receiver-wise, Gus Edwards over there. Receiver-wise, you should be still trying to buy guys like Chris Olave, Tank Dell, Davante Adams. You know, which of those three would you sell? You got Tank. I think you keep him no matter what. That's hella value. That's also a keeper in our league where it's seven round and free agency on can be kept. Davante Adams is the kicker I wanted to talk about just because of his situation with the Vegas Raiders, right? So I don't know what's going down.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about internal trades and stuff and how we feel about trades going into the balls deep stuff. But five seconds, let's move topic. Let's go into the weekly deep waiver targets.
Oh, yeah, bro.
Oh, no.
I mean, this – oh, shit, all three. Multiverse. Hey, I mean, this is really like nowadays just trying to – out of the batch of guys that I know would be on your waiver wire, who we prefer, you know, so usually you're going to kind of see the same format, two or three names, just kind of who we think, right? So I got like Jahlil again, I got him back on the list, the Broncos, McLaughlin. And then we got Rico. We got two guys that we mentioned earlier in the season.
He back, baby.
Rico, you know, hey, against the Giants, so obviously the matchup don't look good. Jahlil McLaughlin against the Bills. But we're not looking at the fucking schedule. I mean, these guys are already not starters. I mean, that right there alone should be, you know, enough criteria to say, hey, we're in desperate mode, right? So don't even look at the schedule, right? Play along, bear with me. Who you got? You got Rico, who's going to spell Tony Pollard, who's probably going to get stuffed by the Giants. So you know you're going to get a guy in the Cowboys who wants fresh legs. And then you got the Broncos, who they know they see the talent in this rookie. He's getting time no matter if it's garbage, no matter if it's competitive. The Broncos defense is playing better. Opportunities are starting to funnel in more for old charity stealing boy Russ. You know what I'm saying? So they're going to find a way to steal, you know, a couple more opportunities. I think Jahlil's going to benefit, especially win or lose this season. They got to figure out what they got in that rookie class to figure out how they're going to draft the following offseason, right? So this guy's going to get his audition, and I think he's going to do well on.
Do you think Sean Payton and company in Denver are going to try to ship or get rid of Mr. Russell Wilson? Do you think they are – random question. I don't want to take up all the time on sleeper waiver, but
No, I would say nah. Just because of the contract money and stuff like that.
I would say they're probably too married to it. They have to see it through at least a couple seasons.
Which how it relates in fantasy is like, yeah, that might cap some of these fucking Broncos guys for some time to come, you know. Hey, wide receiver wise, I'd say I mean, these are waiver, or I'm sorry, these are waiver targets, right? I don't know, Jahan Dotson's probably still out there in your league. I know Bob's got him. He fucking scooped him for me. I'm so upset. Will had dropped him after a lackluster first five games. But hey, the last two games, man, this boy's finished receiver 7, receiver 9, and now he's playing, I think, the Seahawks, right? Bottom 10 defense. And then I'm hearing names like Jackson and Jigba, who definitely shouldn't be on the waiver wire. But if he is, who would you take, Jahan Dotson or Jackson and Jigba? The last guy I told you just had a hot wide receiver top 10 finish last 2 weeks, where Jackson and Jigba, he's slowly creeping, taking that wide receiver one spot.
I had him
three straight games, 12 points. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, since week 7, he has 16, 12, 12. Jackson Smith Nigma, you've mentioned this name, I think, even like draft time. So I think this is a name we've probably said a lot on this podcast. And
the offseason is finally happening. And if you stay patient, bro, you're getting paid. And I'm so sad I didn't stay patient. Tank's got him now, you know, when I traded him away, and he's reaping it, man.
There's so much I want to ask you about your team.
Yeah. Save the tears, man. Save the tears, man.
Pouring out for you.
Hey, let's bleed right into the stash, though, man. I mean, I know there's still some time left, but
the deep sleep waiver thing, like, waivers are so dry at this point. I think it was
a tough waiver week. Yeah, I don't want to list through names that people already know and shit, you know. But I mean, I'll say on the stash. Go ahead, my bad.
No, I was just saying, like, the week 8, our literal theme was a desert because there's nothing out there. I honestly don't look anymore.
That was good too.
And I've got like the budget for. I'm just waiting for, you know, a player to pop off, but I'll go into my strategy of where I think I'm at when we come back to our league.
So and this next one here, you might have, you know, expected to hear these names in the waiver, preferred waiver targets last segment, but here we go. First, we'll hit what was trending up, man. I had nobody. We've been missing on some of these last couple people, man.
at least we're honest, damn it.
Yeah. As far as who, like Pierre Strong, right? I listed him last week. You know, hey, that's a dart on the wall. So a lot of these aren't going to make it. We're just throwing some shit on the wall, see what's going to stick. Pierre Strong, though, like I said, Kareem Hunt came back, stole touches, even with Jerome Ford's return. So the fact that those two guys are there, Pierre Strong definitely back to the, you know, back off rosters. Hey, Keaton Mitchell. I don't know what you're thinking. We talked about A-Chan earlier. But think about how explosive he was when he came on the scene. Or Cordarrelle at running back last year for the Falcons. Jerick McKinnon, you know, maybe it's 4 times a year, but when he scores them double-digit points as a receiving, like, lightning rod out of the backfield for the Chiefs, I think this Keaton Mitchell kid is going to do the same for Baltimore. We saw his speed. I don't think I got to clip it, nah, but it was him just outrunning 4 defenders who had the angle on him. Rookie, known for that. It is a running back committee, but stash him now. You're not taking him for later. I'm sorry, you're taking him for later. You're not taking him for now. You know, Gus is still on there, but hey, bro, we're hitting November, December. Teams starting to add new wrinkles to offense. Players starting to get inserted and have their roles.
I think unless you have like a really like someone you just lucked out on picking so low and you know is your keeper, it's a good time to start looking forward a little bit to next season.
Yeah.
Like who's getting a little bit more reps and who might pop off. Because I think last year I didn't do that well. So I came into this current season not really knowing. And I went Tyler Boyd. And honestly, I rarely played him, but he has been pretty good in a pinch. But I wish I would have kind of had more looking out in the future. So that's kind of what I'm going to try to do this year. But again, it's probably going to be Achan. Likely I'm going to hold on to him. He'll keep it going in. Just because running backs are such at a premium. I'm super interested to see what the workload's going to be because it's clearly not a individual player makes the system go in Miami. Nowhere is it like he's a pure system player that, you know, he only is successful. And like he's clearly a really good athlete. So I think kind of like they don't need to rush him back. So I don't think fantasy-wise he's going to do much unless it's like
he
just keeps getting healthier and he just keeps popping off at the opportunity he gets. That's the only way I see him kind of getting back to more of a carrying the load, or because I think in the Dolphins, it's all about riding the hot hand. They're not married to any one player.
Agreed,
it feels like.
Bro. Yeah. Agreed. And that's why they're so fucking dangerous that they can rotate between so many people. Imagine being the defense and having to, like, all right, you know, you giving your players film to study and shit. It's like, all right, we got to look at this guy. All right, now you got to look at this guy. All right, now you got to look at this guy. All right, now you got to look at this guy.
Well, like, damn, man. It kind of feels like what we said at the Texans is like,
we got to see where this guy's at. We got to see where this guy's at. Oh, don't forget the key on that guy. Yes.
It feels like, you know, just talking about anecdotally with you, it feels like when you have it's almost easy. It's harder to scheme for when there's not a key player that's like getting all the attention, like an Andre Johnson or a Arian Foster or whoever, you know. It's which is
New
good
England
to see.
Used to be real good at that, right? Take one player out and go. Mm-hmm. Nobody else step up. Yeah. And I agree.
All right, we have 3 minutes. What's up?
Receivers. The receiver. One name, man. DeMario Douglas out of New England should be available. Like I said, same with Keaton Mitchell for Baltimore as a running back. This guy, you're not looking to play him right now, but I think it's a guy that's going to develop in season, like baptism by fire type shit. You know, we already see it. Last 3 games. Average each game 7 targets, almost 45, 50 yards, right? Well, I think on top of that, motherfucker had a carry every game, you know. So he's getting the love, man. He's getting the looks. He's getting schemed in. So, you know, we'll see what that's gonna entail, man. Tight end Cade Otton, right? Is that his name? Yeah, Cade. For the Buccaneers, we saw how he did against the Texans. This guy is playing 100% snaps at tight end, right? Last couple of games. So that's all that needs to be said. I would almost prefer him over Arizona's Trey McBride, the other kid that everyone's hopping on, the rookie tight end, talented. I want to say Notre Dame he came out of.
Didn't you hop on him?
Yeah, I did. I actually traded. I got him.
I did.
But, yeah, the fact that, Kyler Murray's coming back, which I'll mention later, Hollywood Brown is a good buy-sell target we didn't get to, because Hollywood Brown's coming back, who finished wide receiver 7 last year with Kyler, right? This year, Hollywood, you know, half his games were hot, half his games were not. Half his games, he finished wide receiver 24 or higher. So the fact that he's getting that injection at quarterback, shit, man. This is going to be good. But, yeah, back to Cade Otton. Yeah. That's a guy I would take, again, over Trey, you know what I mean, just because you know, I don't have the stats behind that one. I just like the Baker Mayfield feel, you know, him to Cade, safety blanket, you know, those typical feelings we like to say.
I was rather impressed with Baker Mayfield last week against the Texans. I mean, he gave them a chance to win, and I just have thinking, like,
Mike Evans, man, if that's your receiver, yeah, you and I go look good out there, man. But yeah,
it's true. Like, I didn't catch enough of the game to see, was Mike Evans like more so pulling all the attention or production, I should say. Was he the one basically moving the offensive? There's a rumor out there, I think this
Rashad
is,
White. Yeah,
I think it's complete bullshit. What's that? Have you heard the Mike Evans Texans rumor?
Oh man, yeah, that's bullshit. You're right.
Yeah, it's not. I think it's got to be climbing up some Reddit boards or some shit. But essentially, people are supposedly saying that Mike Evans came up to D'Amico Ryans and just said, "If y'all can come get me, get me." And which is like, you would never, like, I don't think you'd, it just, yeah, it doesn't seem.
Even if you did, it shouldn't leak like that, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
I mean, D'Amico's going to go out there like, man, let me tell y'all what Mike told me, man.
Yeah, it's like, I mean.
Mike said, come get me. Yeah.
So. Yeah, I don't think it needs to be said. It's like, oh, yeah, we're going to try really hard now. All right, man. Well, that's the stash. Do you have any other stashes? I think you got through it.
Man. That's it.
So then we go into my new favorite topic, is whiskey business, presented to you by Economy Liquor down in Galveston, Texas. If you need residential, commercial, retail, come down to Economy Liquor. They'll take care of you. Now make sure it's the Economy Liquor on, remind me of the street, Troy. It's on the east side by the seawall.
East Galveston, 1911 23rd Street.
All right.
23rd and P.
And just in case, you know, make sure you share this little clip on your Facebook. So there's 2 Economy Liquors in Galveston. You don't want to go to the other Economy Liquor. Why is that? Because our nappy nap here acquired the business, the owner split it off into two different sections and sold it off to two different people. So now you have two different people representing Economy Liquor on each side of the island, which is, I keep telling you, you need to change the name. We're going to change the goddamn name one day. And I think we should make a poll for everyone. But I know you have a lot of
people decide.
You inherited a lot of good customers that, you know, are partial, and you want to keep them comfortable. So I know that you didn't want to be jarring coming in new management. Yeah. But I think you're doing a kick-ass job, man. So cheers to you. And I'm going to pour a little bit here. And so I,
yes, sir.
Y'all don't want to hear about my tight end thing because I'm still proud of myself and salty towards popular podcasts that suggested stupid tight end moves regarding Dalton Schultz. But what do you have for us? Let's new topic.
Man, this is a little personal, right? But CBS, their fantasy football podcast, they're not on board with crowning CJ Stroud yet. I think that's absolutely ridiculous, man. You know, they don't feel comfortable putting him in the same group as like Tua. You know what I'm saying? Justin Herbert, you know. And I would say, because CJ ain't got that type of talent around him, man. And he's still balling with them boys, man. So, you know, fuck CBS, man. Them boys, I can't believe they're not on the hype train, man.
It is a hype train. I can understand it because, again, I think people would want to see it for a season or two and before they can't deny it.
Breaking records every week, bro. Shit.
That's the thing. That I would say that is the every outlier. Week. And it is crazy impressive. Like, he's had still, is it only one interception now?
Yeah, 14-1 interception TD ratio, interception ratio. Yeah.
That's wild. I mean, yeah, I don't know. He's definitely playing very well. I think it goes above luck, but
I'll say that's a good point. We got to name this one Spill the Beans too next time because we got to start running with that, bro. I love that Spill the Beans shit.
We got
it. It's almost like playing spoiler. So, like, I don't know if this is fitting, but I don't know, man. If I had to spill the beans, man, Kyle Pitts is fucking garbage. Like, let's again, not even.
I love the kind of like the running themes in a lot of shows. One is Kyle Pitts is garbage, that you will not come off that hill.
Bro,
I'm
going to
look him up.
Like,
why are you saying this? What's up now?
I mean, you know, we over here blaming Arthur Smith, the head coach, sure. But it's just this guy ain't doing it, man. And, like, the fact that Jonnu Smith is still scoring points over this guy, I just can't believe it. I don't even know if I'm taking Pitts when the next team trades for him. I don't know, man. I don't even want to keep talking about him. Another one's, Justin Hill, Keaton Mitchell, everyone getting hype over these Baltimore running backs. Look, man, all that production was in garbage time. I know a couple of segments ago we just said, hey, Keaton Mitchell's a cat that you should stash. But in all honesty right now, it happened in garbage time. Justice Hill is not a guy you want to be spending your fab on, especially this late in the season. What we got on Pitts? Yeah, let's look at this guy. I mean, I love it. Yeah, you look great on paper, bro. Michael Jordan, 23, 6'6". Okay, 246, athletic freak. I mean –
it's deceiving to see that he's ranked 16, like even with the, I think, Jordan Love
and
at
you
14.
Know,
you know, it feels like, oh, it's
and the stats might not be too bad. I mean, if you average that out, what would that be? I mean, you can't get better than 9, you know, that looks like 9.5 points a game or something. That's not bad, right? But
he's worth just, having on a roster. He's just,
you know, it's biased for me because he got drafted like 4th or 5th overall. Maybe that's it. I just got to let that go. I'm taking that too personal. Like,
I think that's exactly what it is. I know what it is.
Yeah, that is what it is. I'm sorry, it's Kyle Pitts.
I'm sorry, Kyle Pitts.
Hey, last but not least, Bills, they are not gods, man. The Bills, sorry to the Bills Mafia, but they frauds. Like,
it's a step
up,
back.
Like,
this season is definitely a step back for them.
Josh Allen is pretty much just like baby wipes, you know, for that stanky bullshit that is the Bills defense. And surrounding cast, man. I mean, James Cook, it's nice. Cool. Your brother said Dalvin. You ain't running the ball like your brother did in his prime. Your brother ain't running the ball now. So why do I care that your name is Cooks? Like, the running game is still trash. And Josh Allen's just doing everything he can, which is great now, but that ain't going to last. December, January, playoffs. It's just not. He's going to wear down. So, you know. Enjoy the wins now, Bill Mafia.
We'll see. I mean,
Miami's going to win that division. They're going to run away with that division, especially because that defense is scary and it's getting back. And we forget Jalen Ramsey's on that defense. So, But yeah, the Bills are frauds, man. And yeah, that's if sorry to spill the beans, man, to them boys up in what, Buffalo, but
I love it.
Y'all ain't never gonna win shit, man.
So I mean, Dolphins are 6-3, Bills 5-4, Jets 4-4. So Jets, Patriots, definitely. It's crazy the Patriots at 2-7, even with Bill Belichick. I mean, just really hasn't been anything near what it was since Tom Brady left.
Even Jay-Z put out some bad songs, man. You know, shit. You can't be doing it that long and not have some.
Do you think this is Bill's last week? I mean, last week?
Nah, I don't think so, man. Because
you ain't going out like that.
And much like that, like, what else is better on the streets, you know? Like, you're going to bring in a young X's and O's guy? Like, you know, rest in peace, Josh McDaniels.
I was going to say Josh McDaniels.
Yeah. What we got, boy? Balls Deep League?
Balls Deep League. What's going on in the league?
Fuck.
I'm glad we're
streaming.
I don't
even want to see, man. This is the trade deadline. I'll say that. It's the trade deadline. So,
let's just paint.
So
the
I threw away. I had a good keeper. I had Laporta. Could have been a great tight end to build around next season. But I'm kind of banking on keeping Nico Collins, regardless of how he does. I just hope he takes the next step next season, as the wide receiver one. But hey, I just traded for Mixon. I'll say in the Balls Deep League.
Did you start out with Mixon?
No. I had Saquon. I traded away Saquon. Right. Yeah. So
all right, so
this is a team I guess I'm rolling with.
Let's remind the viewers at home, the listeners on the air, web, wherever the hell you're listening to this thing. You are 2-7. We have how many more weeks left? Did we go to week 14?
Yeah, yes, sir.
I think so.
That's 6 weeks left. Or no, I'm sorry, 4 weeks left.
Unless you completely win out and people completely fall off the rails, it looks like you're not making the playoffs.
I'm mathematically out, brother. Yeah,
are
I'm
you?
Mathematically out.
Even in the perfect scenario, you're out?
Yeah, no. I mean, nah. Matt's 3-6. I got three people that are only have one win over me.
So, I mean, not completely impossible, but unlikely. What do you do? And this is, I think, a good thing that we should share up better with how we structure our league, but we know that you have side pots to play for, so we make it a little interesting. So each week there's a fun game. You can win quarterback with the most points, combined running backs with the most points, yada, yada. Troy's really good at putting this together. And you can win some cash, and it's a fun little like carrot on the stick to go for even when you know the season isn't looking well.
Yeah.
You have the toilet bowl to look forward to that has a little cash in it, not a lot. It's really reserved for the winner of the whole league. But what do you do? Or do you kind of completely – because you could, before trade deadline, can't speak right now, you could start trading for next year and acquire picks.
Yeah, so we try to develop some rules to prevent that. And I think what I've heard some leagues do is, like, once you are mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, you can't trade anymore. You can still fuck around the waiver wire if you want, but you're not allowed to trade. And I want to see if we can put that in next year. But as far as now, really? No, I'm not looking
– I feel like we should allow it, but put a cap on it. Like you're allowed like one or two trades. Like
yeah, and that's what we're doing right now. Actually, we got a cap to where I think it's you can only trade one of your top three picks, one of your first three rounds. The rest you can just open game, you know. But like, or else you'll be trying to sell the farm, you know, to get some picks next year. Which
right, like I think it's fair to like say,
but hey. I almost think it's fair because if the player's giving it up and he wants to give up that pick, that's
right.
On them.
Yeah, yeah. I think.
But
I do. I don't like the.
Our boy Will. I know our boy Will feels different. I think on that. So
Will is. We got to get him on the show. He's a stickler. I mean, he feels very passionate about giving rules. I haven't talked to him in a while. I need to think up.
Which was awesome this year at your lake house, bro. The rules. That whole footage was crazy. You got Matt and Kehu up there fucking MCing it, and oh shit, that was awesome.
So besides what do you do? Did you answer that question?
No, I shit. I'm still trying to chase for a sleeper. I mean, I'm trying to chase for a keeper that I get next year. You know, someone that might establish himself like a young David Johnson did his rookie at the end of his rookie year for the Cardinals, or like a guy, man, drawing a blank. But
so right away when I look at it, I mean, just to wrap up what's going down in our own league, I personally, I'm not motivated to trade anybody, make any deals. My team, I feel like, is like really kind of catching on now. Joe Burrow is finally doing what we expect him to do with fantasy production. Dalton Schultz is expecting what he's about to do. I have a problem right now. It's a good problem to have between Tank Dell and Dalton Schultz, having both those guys. I got lucky. I know I got lucky last week. I am not expected to see those numbers again. In Houston, the hard part is it is going to be a hot hand. It could be even Nico Collins. It could be Dalton Schultz. It could be Tank Dell. So now, Mike, I throw Tank Dell and Dalton Schultz in, expecting one of them is going to get the love. That's a hard thing, because when no one does, if it all goes south, if it's a bad game, then you just like wasted two spots. So it's like you roll the dice on 50-50 for one of them having a good game or everyone to have like 10 points in, which is still solid. But I can tell like the desperation is sinking in. I saw Bernal sent me a trade offer for Dalton Schultz, and I didn't really feel enticed because I'm like, I feel good. I don't really feel like I need to reach for anything. I'm sitting at 6-3.
To help you. Yeah. Nice.
So, and then I have a good amount of fab left over in case something happens. So I'm getting ready to make a move into the playoffs, but Steve is sitting here at 8-1. He's likely going to get the first bye week. So he only needs to win one game and then he's in the championship game.
He's locked it in, huh? God, so no. Let's look at his roster to end the show, man.
Yeah, it's good.
This is what an 8-1 team looks like in a 12-man PPR league. That's pretty competitive as we are. High stakes. I think this boy first place playing for $2,000 right now, you know? Like you mentioned earlier, even if I'm two and whatever, seven, I'm still able to win. How we structure it, $75 the last 3 weeks of the season, plus $50 in the toilet bowl. So I can still walk out of this bitch 125, you know? And this is what an 8-1 team looks like, ladies and gentlemen. He just lost Dallas Goedert. We'll see how he does. Jordan Addison's been balling for him. Jalen Waddle's finally finding room. Still not there. Obviously, the big pickup was Puka. God, dog, that was a great fucking pickup, man. What a miss by the rest of us. Deontay Johnson coming back. Dick Strong. Look at that guy. Nothing but fucking green in there. God, dog. I need that kind of ledger, man. BYU, man. And, of course, QB.
So where do the how do you take it down the top dog? Where do the chinks lie at? Well, you could say Bijan Robinson is kind of trending down. That's not a great thing to see.
Yeah, Mostert has been fucking killing it, and so far still healthy. You know, we were talking shit about him earlier in the season, but this guy, just the monster games he was having, while you were having those monster games with
that's what I'm A-chan. Saying. Like I'm looking at his whole like, I'm like, oh, Dan, even when A-chan was going off, he was going off too. So maybe there's enough room for everyone to get fed in Miami.
Maybe for sure there is. Like I said, so, the defense catching up. So
yeah. So he's got Bijan on the downtrend. His tight end just got hurt. I would say Minnesota. I'm not scared of that defense. It's just a jag of a defense.
Yeah.
I mean, defenses, unless you're like the top five, everything's just kind of mediocre to me. His bench. So I think his bench isn't that strong, but his starters are very, very strong. So it can be done.
Yeah, go.
I think we just had the Ivy Bowl, actually. I think Steve prevailed. Matt was very close.
Yes.
Let's look, I think we had all the results in that. I think that was the closest game too, the Ivy Bowl. Let's see real quick.
Oh, Ivy Bowl.
Anyway, we can move on. We can end the show with a nice what's happening around the world.
Yeah, man.
You got anything cool?
Not really, man. I was pretty unprepared. We can talk about Logan. Yeah, I was pretty unprepared for this one. I didn't watch it, man. I did not watch it.
That's okay. You need to. We don't need to talk about Loki. But you did have what's happening around the NFL. We talked about Jets. Let's go back to that a little bit. That's a fun conversation.
Yeah, man. Fucking Coach Sala was asked. I mean, hey, man, why are you still starting Zach Wilson? You know, and his exact words were, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to plead the fifth on that. But,
which is a terrible answer as a head coach. Even if you said that, like, that's the typical, I'm trying to talk
mind
to the
you,
player
this is
a media bullshit.
Love it. Yep. Meanwhile, remember, this guy was when D'Amico was a linebackers coach for the Niners. This was his boss. This was the defensive coordinator, Saleh, there. So this is a guy that, kind of under that tree type deal. And the fact that he's showing this kind of poor leadership, that's a shame, man. It goes to show you what the Jets have been dealing with. It's been poor leadership from the start, bro. So.
I don't like that bullshit of like talk to the media. I'm more of a believer of praise in public and criticize privately, you know? Because it makes you look like you're attacking your team and like they're not behind you after that. It's like, okay.
And you're just trying to flex nuts. Like,
like you
they
can
ain't
do,
trying to
you,
do anything productive.
I'm all about tough love, but like tough love behind closed doors, you know? So I thought that was poor taste, bad form. And I, like I was telling you, watching that game with my little eyes, I didn't. Zach Wilson, yes, makes a lot of boneheaded decisions sometimes, but I don't think is the sole purpose and reason the Jets are where they are. Troy Aikman, had that fiery rant. Great defense, shitty offense, basically bad team. So with Aaron Rodgers over here saying he's a few weeks out from coming back to push his Achilles injury. Why are is it really is Aaron Rodgers the saving grace? Like, he's a great player and he will make up for a lot of inefficiencies, I'm sure. Like,
But again, the Jets were trash to begin with. It's not like they were fucking on the bridge or on the like they were about to like Super Bowl contending
you
team,
wouldn't
bro.
know,
So,
that watching this past offseason, everyone's like,
yeah,
Aaron, Super
exactly,
Bowl, Aaron Rodgers
man.
here, like we have a chance. So
Man.
they have a chance for a playoff run, but it's like, if Aaron Rodgers is like, I really don't want to go another season and this has got to be the last one, I can see and understand, like, okay, yeah, push yourself and try to get in there. But I don't see the benefit here for him to push an Achilles injury. What they're already saying, like, if he did come back, it would be like the fastest recovery from an Achilles injury ever in the NFL. Granted, it happened on the first play of week one. He is a not. He does move around a bit, but his mobility isn't his game with the how he plays, but he can't scramble a little bit. So it just feels like, man, like, is it his ego that's driving him to come back? Because it like they're not a Super Bowl team, even with him.
It is definitely, man. Pride, maybe a sense of unfinished business type shit. The competitive spirit in him, I suppose. So, I mean,
Which
it's
is cool.
all,
Like, I mean, I think, and I understand that too. Like, there was a lot of hype with him in there, and I think maybe it's just like he wants to give people the show that they were expecting with A-Rod in New York, the Big Apple doing his thing, and maybe show a glimpse of what could be happening next season. I mean, has he ever publicly stated his intention about this is a 1 year rental or I
No, he
just.
said he coming back. Yes, 2 year deal. He said he coming back for sure.
No, cool. Well, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, it seems weird and it seems a little bit
I
like attention.
Jets are trash. Bottom line, Jets are trash. Hey, let me ask you, man. When's the last time you ever order a martini? Do you like martinis? What you got?
I love me a Mexican martini. Do you have Mexican martinis?
It was it's just tequila and olive juice.
I think so. But it's
Yeah,
great.
yeah,
I
yeah,
love
yeah.
it. Matt
Nice,
El
nice.
Rancho's here
Yeah,
in
man.
Austin serves the best ones. They call it the knockout, and you get knocked out if you have like three, you'll be on your ass for sure.
Damn, man.
Two,
I'll fucking
you're
try it. All
drunk.
right.
One and a half is great.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Hey,
Why? Why do you ask
fucking
me?
Absolute and Kahlua. These motherfuckers made a fragrance that smells like an espresso martini, to celebrate their drink or something. Anyways, I was looking at that, and that right there might just be okay, but it talks about how other times food has been, branched off into cosmetics and whatnot. KFC had a finger licking nail polish. McDonald's had candles that smelled like quarter pounders.
That's fucking disgusting, dude.
God damn, man.
You ever like leave like a McDonald's bag in your car and you get back in it? That's what I imagine that one should be like. That's gross as fuck. My wife's the worst at like leaving a Chick-fil-A bag in because she had a quick lunch and I get in the car and it's like, fuck. It'd
Oh,
be
you
awful
don't
as a
like that?
kiddo.
Them food smells, right? Yeah, that's like the
Like,
motherfucker that brings salmon to the work microwave. Good thing
dude,
for COVID nowadays, man. Ain't got to share
I've
microwaves
been
and
on
shit.
planes where people bring their own food in container and it's like Indian food and shit and it's like, bro, like that is
Man,
like the most,
keep that shit to yourself, man.
that is the most like smelly food out there and like in a small container. Like, wow, it's insane. All right, man, is that the show? Do we have any more what's
Yeah,
happening?
bro, that's man, let's call it a night, brother.
All
Shit.
right, well, let me queue up some songs.
Yeah. I'll try to release some more clips. I
Yeah,
don't
well,
know if you
like,
saw me a
wait,
couple weeks ago.
we have a lot of clips. Let's, I think we should go a little into Texan clips here, at least for the Instagram or something. I think this show's gonna be called like a love letter CJ Stroud. We probably talked about Texans a lot more than any other show.
Gonna be some good generated artwork there.
So what's your favorite? I mean, so we had this past week. That's the big story. CJ Stroud coming back with it was even under 2 minute game. I think it's like a 50 second drive, wasn't it?
Six plays if you count the spike. Six plays if you count the spike. Shit, you see, he goes back to back. Really, he hits Dalton, then he hits Dalton again, then Noah Brown, and then Tank. So this right here just shows, the little hook right there by Dalton. I mean, obviously the Bucks, they're playing back, like keeping everything in front of them, just go ahead and make the tackle. But you'll see it. I mean, hey, Bobby Slowe got everybody spread out. Dalton just cutting against the grain here, hash to hash. That's a good one, man. So that's how you start the drive. And then you'll notice the next play, same thing, man. He's going to his other safety blanket here. Dalton. Kind of on a, what do you call that? Yeah, it's a flat, I suppose.
Yeah.
But,
just think,
still, maybe, Buck, you know.
Just taking what he's giving them. They're playing prevent.
And that's why I think the mistake really is, too, because CJ is doing well. Even CJ has time, but he's getting through his reads, man.
Yeah, I mean, like, look at the cushion they're giving them there. It's like there's no one in the middle of the field, and it's a shame that the play clock's not on this either to get a sense of what they're really at. But they had enough time. I think they still had the time.
Yeah, they
They had at least one timeout. Then they said, So that's probably poor. Which is funny because Todd Bowles is quite a good defensive coach. He's the head coach there, so you would think that would be their strong suit.
Ace Sand just kind of got him on the heels. I mean, it's beautiful right here. So now we start getting nervous. You know what I mean? But they know a field goal ain't gonna do it. You know what I'm saying? So. Look at that beautiful corner to Tank.
That's the big Tank to
the bro. That's the play right there, bro. Like, yeah, I just want to say the boy got separation right there, man. And look at it again right there. Just ain't nobody around him. He just look at that safety. That safety should close in.
That safety's so far away.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other responsibility over to going to him. But yeah, Tank's just about to.
And great. You can't tell in here, but he had a great foot toe drag.
Toe drag swag,
baby. So the super compressed, man. 20 yards.
That's it right there, bro. You got that little flag route.
Ooh.
Right at the top of the Texans A right there. Yeah, man,
that one's the best.
Another one where he's just separating right, splitting both. What is it? Damn, that's.
So it's over the linebacker.
Cover three, bro? Shit.
Dropped in between the safety and the corner. Boo.
Again, look at that front. Do it one more time, Beans. Like, you see that front, bro. Like, even if there was pressure, time or not, this guy processes so quick. Fuck the S2 test. Boom. He sees it. I mean, he already sees it right there because that safety at the bottom of the X on Texans. Look at him. He's going to go from hash to hash, and it's going to be wide open.
And you see him, the middle safety, biting down on straight vertical ream.
And that's it, bro. And that's it.
Ooh.
Money, man. God damn, that's beautiful, bro. That's our quarterback. That's the future right there. Damn.
This is the same play?
Yeah, just in a tight view, I think.
No, that's the one.
It's the same. It's the same. Yeah.
This view. This is probably my favorite one.
Yeah.
Linebacker's already turned. Drops in.
Woo! Yeah, bro. It's just perfect. Yeah.
Pretty.
Oh, CJ right there, man.
All right, man. Well, that's the show. I appreciate your time here. I know you're double imposed on the screen. Get you off here. Boo. All right, man. Well, I hope you have a good evening. Thank you for those who have joined us. Thank you for being patient with us while we took a little vacation last week. We're back. We're going to finish the season strong.
Weeks like this, bro.
Yeah, no more weeks off. I'm excited for the playoff shows. I don't think we've ever done like consistent playoff shows. We always like fall off every single time. So, yeah, man, I'm excited.
I'll keep the script going, man. I'll try to get them earlier, man. All right. If we got a goal and a purpose, we keep driving. All right, bro. I love you, man.
All right. Later, dude.